also? Of course it is.
But since you are arguing and debating with him, you say, look, in your law, is it not written such and such? And the scripture cannot be broken, meaning you can't contradict me. You can't contradict me what I'm telling you. It's there and in your book. Have a look. Say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world that thou blasphemest because I said I'm the Son of God. He said, look, it means nothing, man. To say I'm the Son of God means nothing. God has got sons by the tons in the Bible. It's a metaphorical statement. Godly people are called sons of God, and he's got them by the tons. No exaggeration. I'm not exaggerating. By the sons. He's got sons. Metaphorically. God doesn't beget. Metaphorically, we are all his children. Is it not written in your law, such and such? So if, even if I said I'm God, according to the Jewish usage, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm only claiming to be a son of God. But the Jews are looking for trouble, can't you see? And when you're looking for a fight, or any excuse will do. Where does he say, I'm God? Where does he say, worship me? So the DD had another idea. He said, you know, in the first chapter of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word is Jesus. So he's God. I'm asking, where did Jesus say that he's God, or where did he say, worship me? These are the words of a Jewish philosopher called Philo. Long before Jesus was born, he wrote this in his own book. This, our John, or whoever he was, he plagiarized it. He stole that man's writing, and he put it into the New Testament in his own gospel. Plagiarized it. Word for word. But never mind. Whatever Philo had in his mind, we won't go into that. I'm asking the reverend. I said, do you know Greek? He said, yes. I did Greek for 5 years before qualification. I said, in that case, you can help me. I said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I said, what is the Greek word there for God? And he started staring at me. It seemed as if the game was up. I said, the word there is Hotios in Greek. And Hotios means the God, which we put a capital G, proper noun. You see, the Western nations, they have a system that when you have a common noun, you put a small letter, and when you have a proper noun, you put a capital letter. You know that. Common noun, small letter, proper noun, capital letter. So, for the God, it becomes proper, definite article, so they put a capital G. Very good, that's your system. But I said, and the word was God. What is the Greek word there for God? No answer. I say, it's tontios, means a God, and for a God means any God, means a godly person. It should have a small g. But I said, you know what? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, in the Bible, it says here, and the devil is the God of this world. The devil is the God of this world. And in Greek, the word is hotios, the God. I said, why did you give the devil a small g? Why are you grudging him a capital G? So why do you play fast and loose with the book of God? You, whenever it suits you, whatever suits you, you know, you put capital letters where it suits you and small letters where it suits you. God Almighty speaks to Moses and says, behold, I have made you a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. A God to Pharaoh. And you give Moses a small G. Why? For a word, W-R-D word, they put a capital G. But for Moses, they give a small G in the Bible. So why do you do that? He said, I didn't do it. I know you didn't do it. But I said, the vested interest that you represent, why do you play fast and loose with the book of God? If this is the book of God, why do you play fast and loose with it? This is it. This is our complaint. Why aren't you consistent? Because if you are consistent, perhaps all these problems wouldn't arise between us. Now, the only thing that is left that can make Jesus God, as the Christians say, is that he gave life to the dead. And this is the prerogative of God. Very true. He stilled the storm. The Quran doesn't go into any details about his miracles. The only detail is about him speaking as an infant. That's the only detail. The rest is, it tells us that he gave life to the dead by God's permission. He healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. He gave life to the dead by God's permission. We accept. But the details, no details in the Quran. The Quran is not a book of stories. It only tells us where there is a reference, it tells us how to combine. So Jesus gave life to the dead, we say by God's permission. But if you take this to confer divinity, there are others in the Bible who perform greater miracles than Jesus. If this is the highest miracle, giving life to the dead, I say it is an impossibility. And because it is an impossibility, if it is done, it's a miracle. A miracle is an impossibility. But I says, you know, a greater impossibility than giving life back to the dead is to take a piece of stick, like Moses did, a piece of stick, a rod, and he turned it into a vegetable kingdom, life, made it into a piece of vegetable. And that vegetable, he made it into a snake, animal kingdom. And this snake went and swallowed up all these snakes of the Egyptians. I said, greater than Jesus. Then Elisha, you know the rotten bones of Elisha, they were burying a man. And when this corpse, this dead body, came into contact with the rotten bones of Elisha, it revived the corpse back to life. Elisha's rotten bones didn't have to say, Talitha kumi, damsel arise, or Lazarus come out. Didn't have to do that. Just mere touch. This is the Bible, the Holy Bible tells us. The very touch of the rotten bones of Elisha brought the man back to life. Who is greater than us? If these are the standards of judging, these are false standards of judging. Christ told us, he said, for there shall arise many false prophets and false Christs, who will show you great signs and wonders, if it were possible to deceive the very elect. These are not the test of a true man or a false man. Even false prophets and false guys can do miracles. Whereas John the Baptist, the greatest of the Israelite prophets according to Jesus, Jesus said, among those born of women, there has not risen another greater than John the Baptist. And yet John the Baptist performed no miracles whatsoever. These are not the standards of judging greatness or smallness of the messenger of God. But since they insist that Christ gave life back to Lazarus, after 3 days or 4 days, the man was stinking in his grave, and he brought him back from the dead. I said, well, let's analyze it. Who did the work? Who did the job? Did Jesus do it? Did he do it? Did he say he did it? No. We learn from the scriptures, Gospel of St. John. Unfortunately, John is the only one who records this miracle. Imagine, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have not one word about Lazarus. Not one word about Lazarus. This is the mightiest miracle of Jesus, but Matthew didn't know anything about it, Mark didn't know anything about it, Luke knew nothing about it. All right, let's see what John tells us. He tells us that Lazarus was sick and he died, and Jesus was not there. When he comes to the village, the sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, they tell him, he says, Master, you know, if you were here with us, our brother would not have died. Meaning, if you can heal other people's sicknesses, perhaps my brother's sickness would not have been unto death. So Jesus tells them, assures them, that even now, if you have faith, you will see the glory of God. Not my glory, the glory of God. Even now. He says, where have you laid him? Take me. Show me, where have you laid him? So they start taking Jesus to the sepulchre. Not a grave, sepulchre, big roomy chamber. And while walking, he's crying to God. He's praying to God. And the Bible tells us, Jesus wept. Shortest sentence in the Bible, two words. Shortest sentence, you can remember that. Jesus wept, and he groaned in the spirit. What is groaned in the spirit? I'm asking, what is groaned in the spirit? In other words, he was actually communicating with God. The words were inaudible. They couldn't make out, incoherent. Pouring out a prayer to God, oh my Lord, my friend, Lazarus, please help me. He's crying and sobbing. The words are not clear enough for the bystanders to listen, so they say he's groaning. Groaning, no groaning. This is his pouring his heart out to God. We do the same when you're crying out something. The words are not heard properly, but it sounds like a groaning. It's no groaning. It's praying. And God assures him that he'll get what he wants. He wants to bring Lazarus out from the dead. That's his wish. And then he gets the assurance. He says, remove the stone. So they remove the stone. And he lifts up his eyes towards heaven. Now they can hear what he has to say. He said, oh my Father, I know that thou hast heard me. What? That groaning. He was praying to God. I know that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. Everything that I did was on account of you hearing me, listening to, answering my prayer. And I know that that hears me always, but because of the people that stood by, these superstitious, credulous people, they will think that I am a god. Because of these people, I said it, I am putting up an act, talking loudly that they may know who's doing the work. And I know that that hears me always, but because of the people that stood by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You are doing the work. He says, it is God who is doing the work. The Quran says, it is God who is doing the work. Peter testifies in the book of Acts to the Jews. He says, ye men of Israel, O Jews, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him. God did by him in the midst of you, which you yourself also know. It's not Jesus. It's not Moses. It's not Muhammad. It's God who is doing the work. Glorify God. And we read in the scripture, when Jesus performed the miracle, somebody rightfully remarked, glory to God for giving such powers unto men. Glory to God. This is the real attitude of a man of God. Glorify God, not man. What makes him God? We are told in the Holy Quran to tell the Jews and the Christians on the subject of Jesus. Why are we interfering in this subject? People want to know, why do you want to talk about Jesus? What have you got to do with Christ? I said, we have everything to do with Christ. Look, when Islam came to the forefront, when Muhammad, the Prophet of God, declared his mission, he was surrounded by Jews and Christians. And these Jews and Christians, they had certain religious ideas about Jesus. The Jews said that because he's got no earthly father, he is the illegitimate child of Mary. The Christians said, because they can't, he's got no earthly father, his father is God. One said he was the illegitimate child of Mary, and the other said he is the son of God. On the same basis that he's got no father. What are we to say? Muhammad claims to be the recipient of a divine revelation, guidance for people, for mankind. So he is made to say, pull, tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, O learned people, you know you claim to have been in possession of a book. Books. You call it the Torah, you call it the Psalms, you call it the New Testament. You are people of learning. La taghlu fi dinikum. He said, do not go to extremes in your religion. Don't go to extremes. وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ And don't say anything about God except the truth. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحِ Most certainly the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryama, Jesus the son of Mary, Rasulullah, is a messenger of Allah. وَكَلِمَتُهُ And a word proceeding from him. أَلْقَهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمُ وَرُوهُمْ مِنْهُمْ Which he bestowed upon Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ So believe in Allah and his messengers. This is what the Muslim is meant to say. We have to take a stand, and we are forced now. We haven't done the job. This is what we have been reading. We have possession of this book, this instruction, for 1400 years, but we haven't delivered the message. So the Christian is coming and knocking at our door. He is telling us, now he is trying to push Christ down our throats. The Christ died for your sins, now we have to talk to him. Jesus is the only begotten Son, begotten, not made. We have to talk to him. Can't you see? Whether you like it or not, there are 35,000 full-time missionaries in Africa at the present moment, raising the dust. 35,000 missionaries, crusaders. Not priests, parsons, or predicants. Missionaries, crusaders. In Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Indonesia, they are knocking at our doors. You must know where you stand. You shouldn't be like doormats, people coming along and using you as a doormat, using you as a punching bag, making nest in your head, because you don't know. It's about time that you picked up the book and became familiar with your own stand, what does the Quran say, and get familiar with what the man is talking about. Whether you know that when he is quoting you, you say, look, what is the context? Ask him. And you see, the poor man knows nothing. He's only programmed with only certain verses. If you know that amount, he can't steal your children. They're stealing your children now. They're going, I'm telling you. We are too lackadaisical, too complacent. We can't afford to lose one. Why should we? Look, this is what you owe to yourself, we owe to ourselves. The Christian owes to himself, he must familiarize with us. If he wants to talk to us, he will be able to talk better. He'll understand our sickness or our health better by knowing our book. He needs the book. And we Muslims, we also have to familiarize. And for that I have given you this book. Easy study and reference these little things here. You master this and you master it all. You don't have to swallow this whole book, 66 books of the Bible, an encyclopedia. You don't have to swallow that. Nobody, the Christian doesn't know it himself. He doesn't know it. So you don't have to take all that trouble. You take these little pamphlets of mine and then familiarize yourself with what it says, and I tell you, there is no missionary born who will be able to shake you. You with yourself. And go out and show them, preach to them. To solve a problem sitting at home won't do. Allah Bari Ta'ala told us 1400 years ago. He sent this telegram, and we are still sitting on it like a cobra on this telegram, addressed to the Jews and the Christians. The Quran says, Qul, tell them, Ya Ahlal Kitab, O people of the book, Ta'alaw, come, ila kalimatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum, that we come to common terms as between us and you. Come on, let us get onto a common platform. Call them, the Jews and the Christians, let us get onto a common platform. And the terms of getting together, La na'buda illallah, that we worship none but Allah, wa la nushrika bihi shay'an, and that we associate no partners with him, and that we do not take from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. But if they turn back, tell them that we at least are Muslims. We have submitted our will to the will of God. Whatever God wants us to do, we are prepared to do. This is the message. We are sitting on it for 1400 years. You don't do the job, then you pay the price. This is it. Our problems are because you're not doing your job. We don't do our job. And it is so easy. Get a translation. How much? 750. Look, there's not another book on earth you can buy for that price. 2,000 pages. Try. Go to the Christian bookshop and see. This one here, this Bible, I paid 14 rand. 100% more than that. For this, I show another book just now, I paid 30 rand from the Christian Bible, Christian bookshop. This one, 2,000 pages, 750. And if you can't afford it, I say you get it free. What excuse have you got? On the day of judgment, I can stand before the Lord and say, Oh my Lord, I tried to help my brothers and sisters. I offered them your book absolutely free to those who couldn't afford, and yet they couldn't take advantage. Those who can afford, no reason to be one with us. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, the subject is vast. 15 different chapters speak about this mighty messenger of God. One is not expected to wade through 15 chapters. 25 different places is mentioned by name. One is not expected to wade through it all. I have given you the gift of our message, Christ in Islam. And now I leave myself open to you. وَأَخِذُ الدَّعْوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ